I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came away. What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about you all, but I am pumped. We are here at the DNCM, of course, with Fancy Brian Kelly. We got some fun guests lined up for you all this afternoon. But most of all, isn't it great to be here, Brian?
My goodness, this is a freaking event.
Yes.
This is awesome.
The excitement is palpable. I'm looking out across Media Row. I see head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. Ben, you should come sit down and talk to me. Enough with the kibitzing with my colleague Todd Alba and, of course, Trigby Olson coming on right before me. You got Devil's Advocates up after me. This afternoon, we've got confirmed David Crowley, County Executive. David Crowley is going to be here because we're going to do Today at the DNC with David. Every day we'll take a hit, check in with David, see what the vibe check that he's got and how he's enjoying himself at the DNC. Of course, David also a delegate from the state of Wisconsin here at the DNC. We're also going to have Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires kicking off a little prequel, if you will, folks, of what will be a everyday segment starting next week of Maggie and the Millionaires. We're talking money every day. Morris will be on every Monday with me. I don't know how many more M's I could pack in there, Brian, but it'll be Maggie and the Millionaires with Morris Mondays. You'll all get a little taste this afternoon. Morris joining me around 3 o'clock. And if we get lucky, we may indeed have Mayor Cavalier Johnson as well this afternoon. He is a man in high demand, as is David Crowley, of course, being part of the swing state delegation. And Democrats on the rise, certainly.
Yeah, and also, just to give an idea for all the listeners out there how it all works, all the delegates are completely separate from where we are. Right now, we're in the United Center itself, around the bowl. We're actually sitting in the merch area.
I'm down for some merch.
It's fantastic. But the delegates are housed completely separately at a different area. I believe they're all at McCormick Place, and they're all going to get shipped over here. They should probably leave now because even though it's like 5 miles, it'll take like 2 years.
Yes.
The traffic is absolutely insane. My friend's daughters go to school down here, and they had swim practice at 6:15, and it was still like a little harder to get there.
Yeah, a little bit unlike Milwaukee in that regard, where we basically were soft-shoeing it around without a problem. That's not happening here in Chicago.
Traffic is
backed up, folks. I had a fascinating conversation last night with my Uber driver. I'll share that with you. I always love a little man-on-the-street gut check about what real people are talking about. Of course, Brian and I always want to hear from you, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm going to look at Ben Wickler again and be like, hey, Ben, come on and sit down. Come on, sit down. We're going to get Ben Wickler here joining us on the fly on the Maggie Dawn Show. Pop a set of headphones on, Ben. Join us. I'm excited, Ben. It's a great day to be at the DNC, I'll tell you that, kicking things off. Join now, pulling him off the floor, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, a much-heralded Democratic leader, many people crediting you for the incredible win we saw in the primaries last week, defeating the referendum. And here we are, another week, another big news event. It's an exciting time, Ben. What are you most looking forward to at the DNC and specifically today?
It is so exciting, and it's exciting to be here on the back of a landslide win against these constitutional amendments that was driven by a huge coalition, Democratic Party activists and coordinated campaign folks, Governor Evers, legislators, those whole Wisconsin Votes No Coalition with Wisconsin Conservation Voters in the lead, all these different groups that came off the sidelines to stop a Republican power grab. And that is basically the game plan and the recipe for this November. The Republicans are broadcasting their national power grab plan with Project 2025. They want to control everyone's personal lives. And Democrats are like, hey, we believe in freedom in the United States of America. We think that, you know, everyone should be able to make their own decisions in their own personal lives. And we think we should have a little joy in politics. And you can kind of feel that energy crackling, the sense of joy and possibility all through the convention, all through the Wisconsin delegation that heard from Governor Walz this morning. He came and spoke this morning.
I was just going to ask you, how was the breakfast? So, folks, if you don't know, the Wisconsin delegation meets in a breakfast meeting each of the 4 days of the convention. You had Governor Walz this morning. What was the environment? It's standing room only. You can't put any more people in that room.
Totally packed. It was delicious breakfast. And then we heard from Walz. We heard from Schumer. We heard from Governor Evers. We heard from New York's Governor Kathy Hochul. We heard from Wes Moore, who's just totally amazing. Garland Gilchrist, my friend, who's the lieutenant governor of the state of Michigan, came and just knocked everybody's socks off. This positive, good vibes. And the sense of, like, you know, we can actually do this. We can actually make history in a good way in the state of Wisconsin this year. And when we do, it's not just the presidential race. It's Tammy Baldwin's Senate race and winning the Senate majority. It's flipping two, maybe three House seats and winning congressional majority that puts Leader Jeffries in place of Mike Johnson, which is a giant upgrade. And then the state legislature. We're going to break the Republican supermajority in the state Senate. We're going to flip the state assembly majority. I'm just going to put it down right here. And when we do that, it unlocks a potential whole new era for our state to end the constant gridlock and chaos that Republicans have brought and actually start to get things done. Very exciting moment.
Yeah, two things pop to mind as you describe all this, Ben. The first is this weird echo effect that I see between what happens in Wisconsin as sort of a petri dish for the national political atmosphere. We have what is by all means a crackpot running against Senator Baldwin that has no business in politics, knows not of what he speaks, and every time he opens his mouth, there's yet another gaffe, not unlike the vice presidential candidate for the MAGA party. It's a never-ending gift that just, again, keeps on giving. Keep talking, Mr. Hovde, because you make it easier for Senator Baldwin to point out those differences. So I see that as an echo. And the other thing that you were mentioning was this overwhelming sense of joy and engagement. And I think Wisconsin, again, as a bit of a canary in the coal mine, but in a good way for what the national atmosphere is like. And this growing coalition of people, including traditional Republicans, stepping up for normalcy, to turn the page, to get back to actual policy discussions that are rooted in facts and have specifics attached to them. Isn't that nice? Those are two things that I see as somewhat of an echo between the national political atmosphere and what we see in Wisconsin. It's an exciting time.
That's absolutely right. And there's a I think, real sense that the things that make it hard to raise a kid, for example, the cost of childcare and the cost of being able to buy a house for the first time, and then, you know, how do you make sure they can go to college, all these things. Democrats are actually thinking about real people's lives and how do we make it a little bit easier. It's not a handout. It is a floor so that people can stand on firm ground and then reach for the stars and for their dreams. That's what Democrats are working on. And Republicans, meanwhile, are just like laying out these wild plans to ban abortion nationwide and restrict access to IVF, the ban on pornography that's in Project 2025. Why are they even thinking about that? Why are they getting into people's personal business? This is Tim Walz has this great line where he says, you know, something called the golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Yeah. Nunya, as the kids like to say. It's Nunya business.
Nunya, exactly.
Bodies in bedrooms should not be part of political platforms except to say do what you do.
Yeah, let's talk about, you know, whether the tax cuts should go to the ultra rich or whether we should be, you know, supporting folks who are trying to have a kid or buy a house for the first time. That's a totally legit space for public discussion and for debate in political parties. Having the government control our personal lives is like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
Why is this even a thing?
Yeah, it's so silly. I wanted to also get your reaction, Ben, since I've got you here, to Vice President Harris's rollout of what can be described, I think, as a populist and progressive economic plan. You mentioned the affordability of buying a home or even renting these days seems to be on the reach of average middle class folks. She's got a plan for that, right? What did you make of the vice president's economic proposals? What stood out to you in those very specific policies, again, that reach middle-class families and try to raise all ships with a higher tide?
Well, let's start with housing.
Yes.
Building an extra 3 million housing units across the country, it's just a great idea. And it might mean cutting through some red tape and, you know, figuring out how to make things happen a little faster. I'm all for that. And when there's more supply of housing, then the price comes down for folks they can afford
it. Basic micro.
Then chipping in when you address the supply side issue, then you can help with the demand side. Yeah. The plan to help folks with $25,000 when they buy their first home. Because for so many people, the down payment is a huge barrier. But if you just did one of those two pieces, then you wouldn't solve the problem for a whole lot of people. So I really love the way she's thinking about the whole thing, thinking about affordability and supply and you know, clearly, there's some smart economists that are thinking this through on her team, and you know, she gets what people are facing in their own lives. Another piece that is hilarious to me about the Republican response is she talked about something that is probably the single biggest affordability issue that I hear about in my personal life and also in politics, which is the cost of groceries.
Yeah.
And she said pretty simply, we're going to enforce our anti-price fixing laws in this country. Republicans are freaking out as though, you know, somehow this means we're moving to communist Russia. Are they pro-price fixing on the cost of groceries? Do they think that that big companies should jack up prices and illegally fix those high prices in order to undermine our market? Is that what they think? That's their position? Come on.
The thing that blew me away, and I talked about this on my show on Friday, Ben, was that price fixing and price gouging isn't capitalistic.
Exactly.
It's not capitalism, people. It's abusive when there is incredible market power asymmetries. This creates an atmosphere where that's possible. Certainly, any economist would have expected rising prices, given the supply chain problems coming out of COVID, which Donald Trump did nothing to solve. So grocery stores and other people that provide essential goods for families that use that effectively as war profiteering, an opportunity to keep prices sky high, even when their input prices have come down, is in fact a violation of both state and federal laws already on the books.
Right.
She's not talking about the government control of production.
Not at all. She's talking about the government doing its job. And Republicans are basically running on a platform of keep grocery prices high.
Yes.
Let's see how that bold strategy works out
for
them.
Well, not only let's keep prices high, let's make them higher by imposing these incredibly high tariffs, which is nothing but a tax on the middle class.
The inflation bomb. This is Trump's...
The inflation bomb.
That's what they're calling it. 16 Nobel Prize winning economists. Vote no on Donald Trump's inflation bomb. Vote yes for freedom and opportunity. That's the message.
You heard it here from Ben Wickler, chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. It's always a pleasure, Ben. Come on by tomorrow. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much.
Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to hear about why Donald Trump is losing as a provocateur. Seems he only knows one song and he keeps on singing it as the polls go into the toilet. Nothing but good news here from the DNC special civic media coverage, folks. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a moment. I don't know about you all, but I'm feeling the earth move under my feet, and it feels damn good. It is time to turn the page. We will not go back, Wisconsin. We're only going forward with Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Walz on the ticket. Again, the excitement is palpable. We may even have a special guest Popeye of Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He's floating around trying to find us. We're trying to find him. We'll get the Lieutenant Governor just as soon as we can.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah, and we have a couple other people that are promising to stop by too, but I don't want to promise things until it happens. But the coolest part is that, like, the way I'm angled here, you know, Ben Wickler's just kind of, I heard an entourage and felt something behind me, and then all of a sudden it was Ben Wickler coming on the show. This is awesome. Any given moment, something awesome can happen at the DNC.
Well, and not to lean into the point too hard, but I think the feeling of possibility, we're feeling it on a micro level here just on the show and on civic media, but I think the feeling of possibility, hope, and what can be and what should be is what's really fueling all of this engagement, excitement, and as Ben put it, joy that you feel in these rooms here. You know, you and I were at the RNC. I spent some time wandering around there. That didn't feel like a party.
Yeah, they party differently, to say the least.
I don't even know what, like, party. I would have to put, like, air quotes around it. It didn't feel like a party to me. It didn't have that exuberant joy simmering about. This has a very, very different feel to it, indeed.
Yeah, you were talking about possibility. It felt like The last couple conventions, the last couple things, it always felt like these are the great ideas we're going to do next time.
Right.
And we just hang on, and we're gonna make it right, and then next time we'll get you guys. And this time it actually feels like, hey, guys, we're on it now.
Yes.
We're doing it now, and it's actually happening now.
Well, in the urgency of this campaign and this moment, I don't think can be overestimated. We really do stand at a precipice. The choice could not be more stark. And this is what voters will be deciding this fall between hope and turning the page, an attempt to try to return to political normalcy in this country, where we move away from the politics of insult. We return to policy debates, and really placing families and the middle class at the center of those policy debates is what we're talking about here. And I think that feels good to people. As an example of that, Brian, I think we've got some sound. This is going to be cut three. This is the Lindsey Graham on Fox News talking about what Donald Trump needs to do. Do we have that sound? Say that again.
Calvin will be getting that.
Okay. So, yeah. Cal, if you're there, let us know. I want to take a listen to this because I think it speaks to, again, this particular moment and what voters really are contending with in terms of a choice. I am not a believer that the vast majority of Americans are interested in the politics of insult and injury. That doesn't speak to what their everyday needs are. I don't care if a particular candidate's feelings were hurt by a name being used to describe them. That should not be part of our national political discourse. We've got this. This is Lindsey Graham on Sunday on Fox News. Let's take a listen.
In the advice-giving column, here's what I would say. Donald Trump, President Trump, can win this election. His policies are good for America, and if you have a policy debate for president, he wins. Donald Trump, the showman, may not win this election. So I'm looking for President Trump to show up in the last 80 days to define what he will do for our country, to fix broken borders, to lower inflation. The numbers that Americans are living with under Harris Biden are terrible. 50% increase in gas prices, mortgage rates going through the roof, grocery costs are really high. That's what I would focus on. Policy. Yeah. Policy is the key to the White House.
Yeah, so you hear that, right? Here's Lindsey Graham amongst numerous Republicans basically begging Donald Trump to talk about policy, to talk about what his vision is. The reality is the man is incapable of doing so. If we've got it, Kelvin, let's take an immediate listen to Donald Trump basically not talking about policy for the 7,345th time. Let's take a listen.
They said, no, her biggest advantage is that she's a beautiful woman. I'm going, I never thought of that. I'm better looking than she is.
I mean, for real. By the way, folks, it wasn't just that. He goes on and on about the attractiveness question. And I mean, first of all, you're wrong, Donald. Kamala Harris is very attractive and certainly much more attractive than you are. We're all tired of insult and injury politics. It's time to get back to policy. Speaking of a beautiful person, I'm now joined by former Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. Welcome back to the show, Mandela. Thanks for hoofing it over here.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be back. It was a journey. I brought my bike from Milwaukee.
Did you for real?
I brought my bike. So I biked from my hotel.
Probably got here much faster than everybody else.
I thought about this. I'm like, it's convention. Chicago is already hectic. And I'm like, it's going to be, you know, there are going to be Ubers and Lyfts everywhere. There are going to be black cars everywhere. And it's going to be tough to navigate. And plus, I don't want to, you know, have to pay $15 to travel a mile.
Correct.
So I decided to bring my bike down here.
That's awesome.
That's what I got here.
That's what we're talking about. Ecologically friendly. Dollar efficient, our Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
Yeah.
Welcome to the DNC, sir. Welcome back to Civic Media. Certainly great to have you here. What are you most excited about this week?
So I'm very excited to be back here with Civic Media. This is actually my very first convention, believe it or not. Very
really?
First. I mean, there was 2020, but that was
that
virtual.
Didn't count.
That didn't
yeah.
count.
Mm-mm.
Did not count. Nothing like this. I'm already overwhelmed in these first few hours that I've been active. But yeah, I'm just, you know, excited about the opportunity we have as a country, excited to actually hear ideas and hear policy, which is a very stark contrast, you know, given what you were just discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the choice that Americans have. Do we want to have a discussion, sometimes an argument, about what policy should be? I keep saying to friends of mine who tend to maybe be on the right end of the spectrum, don't you wish we could just get back to arguing about tax policy again?
I mean, seriously, it would be such a, it would be quite the day we can get to talking about, you know, ideas. We could talk about vision. We can talk about a plan to move this path forward and have the debate about what that looks like versus using just vitriol and anger and hatred to drive American discourse.
Yeah, and that's the part that's so stunning to me. Middle class families, working families have everything in common, no matter whom we sleep with, no matter what color our skin. And we need a president that serves the middle class and all of us and doesn't try to find that separation.
And understands that, leans into it, and uses that as a driving force of the campaign.
Yes, yes. More with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We may even join by County Executive David Crowley. We got to take care of a little business, folks, but we'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody. The fun continues here at Civic Media's special coverage, live from the DNC in Chicago. Because we're stronger and wiser. It's the Democratic Convention live from Chicago. I'm joined by your friend and mine, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and my former boss and a good friend, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. I can think of no finer gentleman to be talking to than you two in this very moment. What an exciting time. Welcome back, David.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It'd be great to hear your voice, Mr. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
How's it going?
Doing well.
Good, good. Wanted to share just a few of the text messages we've got coming in. Folks, if you want to ask the county executive or the former lieutenant governor a question, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Text and phone lines are open. Kamala Harris going to be in Milwaukee for a rally tomorrow. Big excitement. I believe the doors are opening around like 2 o'clock-ish, 1, 2 o'clock. Folks, if you had an invitation, you would have gotten it already and you would have RSVP'd to get cleared for that. That's when that's kicking off. One of our regular listeners and texters, Jeff from Shorewood, pointing out what I have been harping on for a while, and that is all of these policy pronouncements, whether you've got J.D. Vance talking about them or Donald Trump, they are absolutely devoid of any specifics, which I think sort of permits people to project onto these candidates whatever they're feeling and thinking. David, when you compare Vice President Harris's economic policy proposals that she rolled out on Thursday to these generalities that you hear from J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, what comes to mind for you, David, when we talk about serving and supporting the middle class and working people in Wisconsin and especially in Milwaukee County?
You know, one, I think it's extremely important to recognize is that, you know, Vice President Harris is not only talking about the new ideas and and really talking about the specifics that she wants to put forth, but really talking about how this builds upon an agenda that's already been created by the Democrats in the past couple of years. But let's be real and let's be honest. You know, quite frankly, Donald Trump has been running as an empty suit for the entire 4 years. He is not bringing any policies to the discussion. J.D. Vance is the only thing trying to fill out this suit, and they're just trotting him out to all of these states when, quite frankly, he's just putting his foot in his mouth because they're not actually bringing any specifics to the table. They're not talking about these details. And so I think it's extremely clear that, you know, at the end of the day, Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz are fighting for the American people. They are talking about the things that matter most at the kitchen table. And I think that's one of the reasons why the former president doesn't have anything to bring to the table and will never bring anything to the table because he does, quite frankly, doesn't have any ideas.
Yeah. Other than giving billionaires and the richest corporation tax breaks, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, when you look at and you start to compare these economic policies and these policy proposals, what jumps to mind for you?
Well, there's no comparison. And I'll just say that J.D. Vance has done a horrible disservice to my generation. He's a person who is completely disconnected from the realities of millennials, completely disconnected from the realities of the United States of America. And with that being the case, we already know who Donald Trump is. And it feels almost as if, honestly, and I only picked up on this yesterday, and I do have to do a humble brag. I did the ride across Wisconsin from La Crosse to Milwaukee. So you see a lot of interesting yard signs if you ride a bike from La Crosse to Milwaukee. And so there was one sign that was clearly formerly a Trump-Pence sign, and it just had the P in the E switched out for a V and an A. And there is a part of me that is like, did Donald Trump really pick this guy because of the ease of name switching? Because of the syllables, because of the similarities in spelling. Like, it almost feels that that is exactly what he did. And from a policy perspective,
he won't forget the dude's name. You know what I'm saying?
He won't forget the dude's name. It's like you can easily correct yourself. If he's like, Pence, no, I didn't say Pence Vance. No, not Pence Vance. Of course, you know, you heard it wrong, right? Like, you can pull that one, right? He couldn't have gone with any other candidates. Their last names just aren't similar enough to Pence. But when we have a policy conversation, or lack thereof, now, we saw what happened when far right-wing policy was unveiled to the American public. It was soundly rejected. Project 2025 is something that Republicans continue to try to run away from, although it has been the foundation of their governing attempts for the last generation. And so there is a reason they don't talk about policy. They talk about certain concepts. They talk about things in theory, but they don't talk about policy because it is deeply unpopular. And had there been a different response to Project 2025 from the American people, they would have gladly embraced it. But there is a reason that they are running away from it, although everything in there are things that they support. It's all on their grocery list.
Yes, absolutely. The thing that there's so many things about Project 2025 that I find offensive at some level. You've worked in government. I've worked in government. We've got Milwaukee County's county executive on the line. The thing that I found most disturbing was the idea that basically there would be a loyalty vetting for almost any high-level leadership position throughout federal government and as deep into the rank and file of federal government as there can possibly be. David, I'll ask you first and then Mr. Lieutenant Governor. David, when you think about basically having a loyalty pledge in order to get a job as a scientist at the CDC or to work on climate policy at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, what doom does that portend for regular families in your mind, Mr. County Executive?
You know, I appreciate that question, but quite frankly, it scares the living daylights out of me. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you are turning positions, bureaucratic positions where people have been working their entire lives and at the end of the day are there to protect the American people, that's what they're there for. And now you have a guy like Trump and J.D. Vance who are sitting there saying, well, we want those folks to be loyal to us, which means that they're not there for the American people. They've never really had our best interest at heart, because they're so focused on honing their own power to do their own bidding for both, again, these corporations and big billionaires. So it's extremely important that folks understand that Project 2025, the only thing that we should be focusing on is getting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz into this seat. We need to do everything that we can to make sure that this doesn't become into fruition. And it's very clear on why he is trying to distance himself from this agenda. It's deeply unpopular. And when you compare it to the entire agenda that Harris and Walz have been running on, it's all doom and gloom. And so I'm glad that, you know, as Democrats, I'm going to get my cup refilled while I'm in Chicago, focusing on, you know, what we are voting for and how we have something more to look to the future than focusing on the past and not going back to, you know, Donald Trump's antics and just in invoking chaos and silliness into our political game right now.
Yeah, and we experienced the loyalty pledges during Donald Trump's first presidency.
Yeah.
During his only presidency. And we saw it, whether it was with Jared Kushner. Rex Tillerson was our Secretary of State, if people don't remember that.
Yeah, right.
How ridiculous was that?
An oil executive Secretary of State.
An oil executive. He didn't even know why he got the role.
No.
The man seemed lost.
This guy's a moron.
That's what I'm saying. So we've had that experience. We see what that lack of leadership has led to in this country. His, you know, picks for the U.S. Supreme Court. These are all loyalist picks, and he has, you know, he's shown us again who he is, what he will do. The only thing is, we see it documented, you know, very, very plainly in a whole bunch of pages in a novel's worth of policy issues.
Novel plus 892 pages.
Yeah.
I don't pick up too many books that are that long, other than like War and Peace, and I did that once.
Yeah. Which is funny, because Trump usually has like a one-page document that's all he can handle anyway.
Yeah, and it's probably a pictograph.
That's probably why he's rejecting Project 25, because he hasn't read it all.
He can't read it.
He hasn't made it anywhere near, you know, through the whole thing.
Mr. Coney, executive, I know you are in transit. I'm going to just say thank you so very, very much. And I'm going to leave folks with this little remembrance. Of course, I used to work for you. One of the things that I respected most about working for you is that you expected from me at all times objective and accurate legal advice, and you valued that. You understood what my job was as a bureaucrat. I've always been proud to be a bureaucrat when I was one, to serve and to give people that are decision makers the best possible advice that I can give so that they can make the most informed decisions. Thank you for respecting my role and my job, Mr. County Executive. It was an absolute privilege and honor to serve you, sir.
Absolutely. And it was great to have you. And I just have to make sure that I tell you, I'm riding back to Chicago right now. And the chairwoman, Marcia Nicholson, told me to tell you hello.
You give Chairwoman Nicholson an enormous hug for me. Tell her I expect her on the show tomorrow, somewhere between 2 to 4,
yes,
because I cannot wait. Oh, I can hear you, Marcy. I love you.
I can't wait to speak with you all tomorrow.
Take care, y'all. Travel safely. I love you both. We will see you here in the flesh soon, and we will talk to you both tomorrow. Big, big love. Thank you for your time, Mr. County Executive. Madam Chairwoman, I will talk to you tomorrow.
You.
I will talk to you both tomorrow. Travel safely. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, I wanted to ask you this question. You've run in a statewide office in the state of Wisconsin.
Twice,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is fair to say that your opponent in the Senate election certainly leaned into all sorts of racist tropes.
Mm-hmm.
What do voters in Wisconsin need to be looking out for to not fall trapped to those same biases and prejudices that we see brought up again and again by the MAGA party?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the facts and don't fall victim to fear mongering. And my opponent was Shameless. And yes. the people who, you know, propped up their campaign, the people who, you know, architected the media strategy were also Shameless. And I can tell you, as shameless as they were, a presidential campaign will be even worse, especially in a state like Wisconsin where everything is on the line. Third-party groups have already announced historic levels of spending. And so while we are riding this high, we are riding this wave of enthusiasm, which is very real. You know, I see it in more places than I would have expected. I've had, you know, somebody text me and ask, you know, how can they get involved and volunteer for the campaign? And so I scrolled through our message history, and that person didn't even ask me how to get involved in my campaign.
Damn.
And I ignored that person.
Yes.
And they, I will soon give them the information to the party, because I'm not a hater. But, like, you know, just putting that
where
out
were
there.
You at? Right.
Yeah. Where were you? But. It is a real thing, you know, how involved people want to be in this campaign. There is also the other side of this, how fired up, you know, how motivated the other side is now to get involved and show up to vote.
Yes.
And spend money.
Yep. It is absolutely critical. I can't thank you enough for your time, Mr. Lieutenant Governor Mandel. I consider you a friend.
Yeah, same here.
And a leader of our party. I look to you to help keep the base engaged and excited. I can't
Every
wait
day.
To see you out and about here at the DNC.
I am going to be all around on my bike.
On the bike.
Yep.
I love it. You know, Russ Feingold might have driven around in a jalopy, but Lieutenant Governor Barnes is on his bike keeping it 100.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mandel.
Thank
I appreciate you being here. We'll catch up later this week with former Lieutenant Governor Mandel Barnes, friend of civic media and a friend of each and every one of you, as we celebrate Kamala Harris and Governor Waltz taking the reins of the Democratic Party here at Chicago and the DNC. Live coverage from civic media. Stay put, everybody. Back in just a moment. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You know, Brian, I can think of no better place for the Democratic Party to be having this big old party than the United Center, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many championships do the Bulls have?
All of them.
All of them.
Like six and 8 years? Or they would have had more.
Many.
They had to get the MVP out by playing baseball. There's a lot of reasons why he may have played baseball for gambling reasons, but he was really good enough that they almost won even when he was gone. So
yeah, the United Center, absolutely a house of champions. I certainly remember the Bulls era, if I can wax.
Yeah, please.
I hated the Bulls. I had a poster of Sidney Moncrief and then the Detroit Pistons up in my bedroom because yeah. Just anybody but the Bulls was effectively my approach back then.
I lived in Boston. I went to the Celtics rookie training camp for a number of years. Like, I got to meet Reggie Miller before he died. I got to meet, like, obviously before he died. But that was D. Brown's rookie season. Rick Fox still played for the Celtics. Like,
Rick Fox.
Yes.
I mean.
You know, he moved to L.A. for a good reason.
Yeah, that man is a good-looking man.
Yes, yes. But then I moved to Detroit, and that's when I became a, you know, ancillary Pistons fan, but. And whatever, but
ancillaries are right. The Pistons were fun to watch.
I want them to lose type of respect for the Bulls, but kind of wanted them to win everything, which they did. They had best record in NBA for a while.
So. Yes, indeed. Back in the old Phil Jackson days. In any case, it is a house of champions. Feels only fitting. Also, the return of this convention to Chicago, I think, has some special significance.
Last one didn't work out so well.
No, and I think, you know, a successful convention here for the Democratic Party is really critical and bringing people together. One of the things that I will remind people of often is they'll pick some particular plank of a platform of a candidate, for example, of whatever the final platform of the Harris-Walz campaign is. And they'll say, well, I don't agree with that. And they'll go after it. And I say, well, that's great. You know what? The Democratic Party is a big tent party.
Gigantic.
We actually encourage vigorous debate amongst folks that are part of this grand coalition. That is part of what this party has always stood for. That makes ideas better, right? It is not the MAGA cult where it's one set of beliefs and that is whatever the orange Cheeto says or you get booted out of the party. I just don't think that that's good for democracy, small d. I don't think it's good for Wisconsin. I don't think it's good for America. I think Democrats debating amongst themselves about some of the most serious issues of our time is, all else being equal, a really good thing. The second thing that I like to remind people about that is put on your big kid pants.
Yeah.
There's no perfect candidate. There's no perfect platform. You're never going to get everything on your wish list. Did Santa Claus ever bring you everything on your gift list? That's not how this works.
Well, I mean, some of the candidates on the right have had that happen for them for their entire lives, which is probably why they assume it's going to happen again and again and again. But yeah,
fair point, friend. Fair point.
What's cool about this is, like, at the RNC you go by and you pretty much know exactly what anybody you talk to is going to say on any given subject about anything. You go around up and down here, we can just grab any random media personality or someone with an opinion on a show, put them on here, and let's debate about something. There's an open conversation here, but it's also under the air. It's like it's a large family, you know, where you may not like Uncle Stu, but if you come at Uncle Stu, I'm going to come after you.
Yeah, and I think, again, that idea of...
Love you, Uncle Stu.
Big family, different opinions, that those differences are welcome,
mm-hmm.
but that in this moment, the gravity of this moment requires us to continue to have those big debates over some of the most critical issues facing this country and the world. Continue to have those debates, but understand the big picture here and that we've got to come together to make sure that one of the most dangerous men, both from the Project of Peace perspective in this world, from a human rights perspective, and from, hey, do we have policies that help support the middle class, that one of the most dangerous men in modern American history has to be kept out of the White House at all costs. I get frustrated when people seem to lose the thread of that fundamental, central idea. That's what we're here to focus on. That's what we're here to celebrate, and I'm certainly feeling very privileged to be in the room. To date, today, what I've seen are those important discussions happening, but an overwhelming sense of unity and energy surrounding the Harris-Walz ticket.
I have some breaking news from word on the street. The Wiener Circle up in Lincoln Park area. I used to work on either side of that place. I used to work next to it and then just south of it at a 4 o'clock
bar. But if I know what this headline is, Brian, folks, you're not going to want to miss. This is very critical
breaking
news. Very critical
breaking news. Word on the street. So Wiener Circle puts up on its marquee a different cool phrase. So the cool phrase now is now serving Trump footlongs. It's a hot dog place.
Mm.
So now serving Trump footlongs, it's 3 inches.
A little highbrow humor here on the Maggie Don Show.
Just bringing it to you.
Listen, we all need a little levity from time to time because the moment is indeed serious. I can't wait for my next guest, Brian.
I'm happy to meet him in person.
So nice. His name is Morris Pearl, folks. He's one of those millionaires that we talk about, and his perspective is we got to do better for wage workers. We got to do better for the middle class, and the rich should have the crap taxed out of them because that's actually better for the economy. There's no such thing as trickle-down economics. It is only and ever trickling up. We work hard so that corporations and their shareholders and the richest people in America can line their pockets. No, we work hard so that we can support our families and make sure that our children can do better than we have, and that's going to require taxing the rich and the United States' most profitable corporations more. We got to roll back those 2017 handouts to billionaires, millionaires, and corporations that Donald Trump put into place back. If you vote on one thing and one thing only, and it's your pocketbook, there actually is no choice this November. We'll talk all about it with Morris Pearl. Coming up here on The Maggie Dawn Show, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Don't go anywhere, folks. Civic Media's special live coverage from the DNC in Chicago continues live from the United Center. Your news, weather, and sports are up next, and then Brian and I will be back with Morris. Stay tuned.